The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, mighty and immortal, you know that as fragile creatures surrounded by great dangers, we cannot by ourselves stand upright. Give us strength of mind and body so that even when we suffer because of human sin, we may rise victorious through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please. I invite any children that would like to come up and join in our discussion
this morning of the Word.
Morning, guys. I haven't seen some of you in a real long time. How are you? Doing good? You enjoying your summer? Are you going back to school soon?
Tomorrow.
Oh! Well, I go back to work tomorrow, too, so I know how you feel. But, well, this might be one of my last Sundays that I get to see you all, and you have taught me so much about how brilliant children can be, not just myself. And not only that, but how faithful and loving that you guys can be to other people, and that you have good parents here that are teaching you that. So, this morning, though, we're talking about Jesus who is healing again. Can you imagine that? He's healing again. And at this day, it's a woman who is bent over, and we think about somebody that's like this, right? And then brings her straight up, right? But what could that actually mean? What happens? Look, put your feet in front of you and look down and think of yourself as bent over or hunched over the whole time. Pretty boring, right? What do you see? Your feet. This is pretty boring. But this is also pretty isolating, right? Okay, if I'm like this, my peripheral vision here, right, if someone walks up. But what if someone's way up there? You can judge people on how their shoes look. That's a really good thing. And you can also listen to them. But you can't really, like, look them in the face, right?
Well, it doesn't matter, really.
Why doesn't it matter?
Because it doesn't really matter how they look.
Doesn't really matter how they look? That's true. So their shoes don't matter either in some ways, how they look. But you can listen to them.
Yeah, but you can see if you like the same shoes as them.
That is true. So if you're looking at your own shoes, and think about this for 18 years, can you imagine yourself doing this for a really long time? Day in and day out. What?
My back would hurt.
Your back would hurt. What else would hurt? What about if all the blood rushed to your... Yeah, if all the blood rushed to your head, that wouldn't be very comfortable either. But what about if you were trying to make some friends and people judged you for being hunched over? That would hurt too, wouldn't it? What would happen if you suddenly stood upright?
What if a different person had that same problem?
If someone had that, I bet that you would get along, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But most people aren't like that, right?
Like, all we would have to do is look at each other's feet, and we would see that we like the same thing.
Well, so maybe some people could bend down a little bit and see where you're at. But I think that what we want to do is to stand upright with each other. And that it's that healing that stands up with each other so we don't judge each other anymore. God does that for us. Have you ever been really sick and so you couldn't be around other people? And people were like, no, get away from me, right?
Yeah.
No? You never been that way? Well, one day
It's fun to get out of school when you're sick.
That is true. It's fun to get out of school.
And watch TV.
So there are some good things to being sick, I guess, sometimes. But most of the time, right, people kind of shun you. They go away, oh, don't touch me, I don't want to get sick, right? Well, what would happen if suddenly you didn't look sick? If God healed you, no one would judge you anymore, would they? And that's what Jesus says for this woman today. He lifts her up so that all of us can see each other one-on-one and we don't have to worry about each other. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you for healing us in the many ways that allow us to be seen as human with dignity, with help from other people, and that people who have been where we are can show us the way and can accompany us through that as you accompany us. Heal us in all ways that we may stand aright with you and our neighbor through Christ our Lord. Amen. Thanks, guys. See you again.
Jesus was a little child.
I don't know.
children of the world. A reading from Isaiah. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord then will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interests, pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Let us pray Psalm 103 responsively. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all God's benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the grave and crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like an eagle's. O Lord, vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. You made known your ways to Moses and your works to the children of Israel. Lord, you are full of compassion and mercy, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Glory to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Hebrews. You have not come to something that can be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that not another word be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned to death. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the covenant, the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse the one who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused the one who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape if we reject the one who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised. Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of what is shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks, by which we offer to God an acceptable worship, with reverence and awe. For indeed, our God is a consuming fire. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
When I was growing up, I remember that an older woman lived across the street from me and my family. I remember her dachshund, Timmy, who barked like a devil. And I remember her sitting in her big, white, comfy chair watching Bob Barker on The Price is Right. But I remember something else. As time went on, she developed a hunch, a bend in her spine. And it prevented her from standing up straight when she was walking. It wasn't scoliosis, it wasn't osteoarthritis. The doctors really didn't know what it was. But they weren't quite sure why she couldn't stand up straight without help. That was really what the issue was. It got so bad that she stood and it was almost a bow, like this. It was only when she put her hand out and pushed herself up that she could stand up straight. Imagine yourself like our kids, standing like her, bent over. What do you see? Your feet, the ground, whatever's there, right? What if you were walking along and you wanted to talk to your friend or a neighbor and you couldn't push yourself up? That doesn't sound like a great life, does it? Imagine being like that for months and for years. It is pretty boring, but it's frustrating, and it's debilitating, and it's depressing. In Luke's telling of the gospel story, we hear of a woman today who comes to Jesus just as this woman who is hunched over. We don't know the same way. We don't know why she's hunched over. Just that a spirit had kept her this way. That is how the people of the ancient world understood disease, unclean spirits or demons. There is one other explanation that the ancients held. She was a sinner. And this hunch, this bending over, was God's punishment for her sins. Now, you probably know that I'm not one to equate disease with God's punishment. I don't see illness that way. But just for a moment, if we step into this idea, we step into the mind of the ancients and we say, and we wonder, what if her punishment, this is punishment for her sin? That's a pretty scary thought, isn't it? It makes us wonder, what if the disease, the affliction that I'm going through, what if that is also a punishment for sin? And what does that really tell us about God? I don't know about you, but this idea that God punishes us for sins does not sound like the gospel to me. It's not good news
as the gospel is good news, if the love and the mercy and the grace of God don't somehow dismiss all of these fear-mongering ideas that we have. The point of the good news is that in Christ Jesus is just that. Instead of fear, we get hope. In place of our anxieties and worries about where we stand with God, we get faith. We get to trust in the mercy and love of God at every moment of our lives. We get to see that God cares for us, even when we tell ourselves we don't deserve it. As I began studying Lutheran theology in seminary, an image stood out to me. It was an image for how sin makes us to feel isolated from God and from others. Sin likes to make us feel outcasted, other, alien from those around us, doesn't it? Sin likes to make us believe that our sins are all we are, that we are unworthy of love and grace. And in turn, sin forces us to obsess about our worthiness or our unworthiness of love, for love and graciousness from God and other people. We turn inward on ourselves. That's the image. A hunched over, bent over person, curved in on themselves, only able to see their feet, not able to look up and see the shining face of God, or anyone else for that matter, not able to trust them that they're really there for them. Sin makes us so distrusting of ourselves, and therefore God and others. Funny how that works. So distrusting that we turn in on ourselves. And when I hear this story of a woman in need of healing from being hunched over, it's not the physical ailment that catches my attention. It's the very thought that this woman was going through the same thing that we go through as well because of sin. We are all hunched over, sometimes that low, and sometimes just a little bit, just enough for us to dismiss it, just for a moment. But this woman is bent low. Jesus does not stop her coming forward, though. He heals her. He does not ask her if she knows why she is hunched over. He does not subjugate her to a vetting process of sinners. He does not interrogate her about her illness. He doesn't even ask her to repent. Instead, he accepts her as she is and asks her to come forward. And she has come bearing her need and trusting Jesus. She has put herself out there not knowing what will happen, but believing that God will unbend her and help her to stand upright all on her own. Whether she knows it or not, her worldview will be totally changed because of this. She will even be able to look at others in the face and to see others who are hunched over. Perhaps even she too can help people to stand upright. God has freed her from her turned inward posture. Others cannot claim that God is punishing her anymore. No longer face inward, no longer with her face set towards the ground out of shame and humiliation. God freely gives her new life. But she is not the only one turned inward in this story or facing the ground. After Jesus heals the woman, hear the word of the gospel. The leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. come on those days and not on the Sabbath day. That's a strange reaction to a healing. He is angry at Jesus, and yet he takes it out on the crowd. Instead of saying, "Jesus, you're breaking the law," he directs his anger at those who don't deserve it. But Jesus knows that this is really a call to him, doesn't he? Jesus reminds them, calling them hypocrites, that the Sabbath is not established to avoid the needs of others. It's for rest. It's for life-giving. It's not a time to ignore the needs of others. It's a time to pay attention very closely and help give new life to others. Just as giving water is life-giving, Jesus gives life to this woman. And I think it's really fitting that others in the crowd are cheering after he puts this guy in his place. The leader of the synagogue was trying to wield power over the crowd by reminding them of the letter of the law. And Jesus is having none of it. The letter of the law has no comparison with the freeing word of the gospel. And the crowd, what does it do? They rejoice at what is happening. And this leader of the synagogue is shamed. But this is the danger of embracing sin. It turns us against God and one another. Because of sin, we misdirect our blame and our anger and our frustrations and whatever it is onto other people, especially those that don't deserve it. We trump up charges against others and hold ourselves up, if only to make ourselves feel less insecure sometimes, rather than turning to God, who lifts us up and allows us to stand on our own. The good news is that we are spared from turning inward. The gospel proclaims to us that God turns us from our concerns for ourselves and back to God and to one another. God proclaims to us that God's judgment is on sin and not us. We no longer have to face humiliation for sins. We do not need to fear judgment from God or from our neighbors who themselves may be a little hunched over. We can see the world as God sees it. Ours is still a world where sin has a foothold, but it does not have a hold on us. We do not need to bend to sin's will for us. Instead, we can put ourselves at the foot of Jesus, at the foot of the cross, where our sins are taken up and buried with Christ. Sin wants to enslave. God wants to free. Sin only ever wants to subjugate us, and God will not let have sin give it the final word. There are those in their world that are trying to put themselves between us and the world of the gospel. That is the nature of history. There are those in our world that misdirect their anger onto others who tell us that the letter of the law is more important than the word of the gospel, who tell us that earthly laws are somehow more just or more practical than the law of Christ. There are those in their world who are so hunched over that they do not see what they do to others is not freeing, but it restrains the gospel. There are those that want to tell us that the word of the gospel is less important than the flagrant and frivolous words of any human being. And there are those who want to keep others in bondage and bent over to their will, thinking that they will have the final word. And Jesus tells us, no. The word of the gospel is the final word. Because after all, the trump cards people try to play, the ultimate hand is the one that feeds the hungry, offers water to the thirsty, clothes the naked, and gives refuge to the stranger in the land. The hand of God that welcomes us and lifts us up is the very same that points us to lift our hands in the giving of life for other people. And it is the very same hands that lay upon us in healing our hearts to have faith, the trust, to walk aright with God and our neighbors. It is true, the world continues to be a scary place. But time and time again, God's promise of mercy, compassion, understanding, and love is always there to give us hope. We do not have to bend to the will of sin and give in to fear that only isolates us from God and our neighbors. God puts the hand of healing on us, and we can stand together with the word of the gospel ringing in our ears and written on our hearts. The good news is that God frees you from sin. And there is nothing that God will not do to give you the power to stand against sin. Amen.